We're back to the Neil Haley Show. And, when you talk about specifically working with an architect, how do we define that? And so it goes back to my days of when I first started in radio and TV back in 2012, which amazing will be, oh, it's going to be, I'm sorry, 2009. It's going to be 13 years, which is amazing to think about. My guest today, we're going to talk about that question. So John Rivnak, John, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
I'm doing great. So 22 years doing this.
Well, that's in bits. So for you, 22 years. For me, it's
No, I was, yeah, 22 years for
13.
you.
13 years in the 13 years radio and TV, over 9,000 episodes, syndicated across all over the country, interviewed celebrities to interesting people, but I've never interviewed an architect. So what's the topic of the architect? So define an architect for me.
An architect, traditionally, the term tra loosely translated means a master builder. So it's the master who also builds. So historically, the architect of the great cathedrals and those types of things was the person who came up with the ideas, recorded those ideas, and then managed the process of the construction. Today, it's really not too different than that. So they're soup to nuts, beginning to end. So just like you doing 9,000 radio shows, I could say, oh, how tough is it to do a radio show? I can talk. I can turn on and off a radio. How tough is it? I can do this. I'm going to guess that your first radio show and this 9,000, whatever number it is, are this one's a quantum difference in improvement,
Oh,
your ability.
truly. Oh, truly. I was
Cool.
reading off a script in December 6, 2009 at WRCT Studios in Carnegie Mellon University. And even though I'm a former professional wrestler and I've done so many things in my career, in front of the media, it's like, okay, now the light's on. What to do? How am I going to talk about? What am I? And I was only focusing on education at that time. And I was reading off a script and I'm like, no, this is not me. At least I figured it was a natural edit, but ultimately I couldn't just go and interview somebody like you, come up with a topic and go. And that's the ability I have doing that many. If somebody else said, hey, I'm going to do a podcast today, the podcast would be like, well, I got to prepare, come up with all these different things. No, what I've learned because I have done interviews, and it's funny, John's interviewing me, and I love it. This is a great question. That I literally would get a celebrity specifically on the line, and basically it was not supposed to be that celebrity. They jump on my line, and I have 5 minutes to talk to them. What's the topic? What's the subject? And go. And you have to keep it to 5 minutes. You have to keep it to 8 to 7 minutes. So you have to be able to be on your feet ready for the next question. And that just comes being natural because at first you're like, what am I going to do next? And I consider myself the king of the follow-up. So whatever we go into a direction, I'm able to monitor and adjust and go. So there goes my answer. But you're right. And
Perfect.
actually, yeah.
Perfect. Because whether it's wrestling or whether it's a radio show, the good news is you have another wrestling match and you got another radio show. When you are talking about architecture and you're going to design your business, your building, or you're going to design your clinic, you're going to design your home that's going to be a big chunk of your investment, you get one shot. One shot. And so to come at that, go, well, I got another wrestling match. And at the end of the season, I will have this many wins, this many losses. Well, out of 9,000 programs, I've got 8,500 absolutely stellar. A couple of them, yeah, they make an erasers for that. All right. So with architecture, you've got one shot. And when people decide to pretend to be an architect, it's very dangerous because you don't get a next shot at it. We get hired probably a couple times a month by somebody who calls and says, you know what? I'm in trouble. This is what I did. I started off, I did this, I did this. This is where I am in my design. This is where I am in the construction of project. What do I do? And I said, are you working with an architect? No, I can do that myself. No, we just hired the contractor. The contractor knows how to build a building. I go,
No.
okay. No. As an architect, I have a nice set of X-Acto blades to make cardboard models of things. Just because I have X-Acto blades does not qualify me to be your surgeon and do your surgery. That's pretty frigging dangerous. So just because you've seen a house before does not qualify you to do that. Contractors pretend to be architects. Homeowners pretend to be architects. Business owners pretend to be architects. And, you know, here's, there was a, Michael Jackson had a really interesting song. It's A, B, C, easy as one, two, three. Well, architecture can be that way. Here's your ABC. Architect before contractor. That's simple. Do not start off with hiring the contractor first and wondering if it's going to work. It won't. Oh, it could. It won't. Just sit in front of a microphone and the radio program will happen all by itself. It won't. It can't. So if I can leave your audience today with something to remember, it's that simple. A, B, C. Architect before contractor.
So here's my question for you. How many people are not doing that, not hiring an architect when they're building something? And they just go and decide that this person's skilled at building and I'm not going to have architect plans and just go. How much of a failure does it end up happening?
Well, right now, the last numbers I saw, somewhere close to 80% of the built environment never saw a licensed professional architect. So when you drive down the street and you see homes that are less than stellar, they're not particularly good looking, they don't look like they came together, there's probably a reason for that. Architecture is a six-year program after which you have 3 years of intern development program. So 9 years until you can sit for your license. And somebody decides, oh, I bought a software program for $100 from Best Buy. I'm ready to go. No, you're not. There's a lot that happens in that 9 years to prepare you for your first on-air situation. And so why do buildings happen that way? Well, because our building codes and zoning and those types of things and permitting say that, well, if it's under this many square feet or under this many dollars, you can do this without a licensed architect. Oh, you need a licensed engineer for the structure. And oh, you need a licensed plumber to change the gasket on your faucet. And oh, you need a licensed electrician to change your switch on your wall, but you don't really need an architect. This is a big, big problem. And that's a whole other program as to why that is. Or
I would never have thought that. So where do you see most architects buildings, big buildings versus houses, or like a lot of the buildings are definitely have to have an architect when you're
big buildings have to have an architect. In houses, not so much. Small buildings, not so much. Here's where I depart from my architect brethren that I might call some the elite effete aesthetes. They're kind of have the nose in the air. I'm an architect and I don't want to dirty my pencil with doing such a thing as a residence. Oh my God. Well, you know, I'm sorry. 90%+ of architects who end up in the field, and I was a professor of architecture as well and president of faculty senate. So I know a little bit about how architecture education happens and it has flaws, but they're not ready to do this. Many architects feel like, well, okay, back to the permitting. Permitting says an under 5,000 square feet of a house, you are in many communities, you don't need an architect. So over 5,000 square feet, which is a big house, by the way.
Yes.
So over 5,000 square feet, planning departments and cities decide that, oh, that's important that that house doesn't fall down and doesn't burn and people can get out in a fire and all those types of safety things. Under 5,000 feet, the rest of the world who can't afford that, I guess we can just let them burn or let the house fall. We don't really care. This is the elitist attitude that I see coming from government and from some architects. I think that's completely wrong. In my mind, every building deserves the same focus of an architect who's there to protect you. We're licensed for health, safety, and welfare, for your health, so you stay healthy in there, for your safety, it doesn't fall down, it doesn't burn, and for your welfare. I had a professor early on that said, I'm confident I can design a house that'll create a divorce. I can design a house that will make it almost impossible for that ever to happen. And we were, how do you do that? He said, well, much of architecture is different than sculpture in that it's now behavioral psychology combined with sculpture. So we have to also understand a great deal of behavioral psychology, how people perceive spaces. Winston Churchill said famously, we create our buildings, and then our buildings create us. So let's go back to your wrestling career. So if I create a wrestling venue,
right,
I decide the size of this because I have no experience in wrestling. I have no idea what this is going to be. I think that an 8-foot by 8-foot mat ought to be good enough. I don't need ropes or anything. 8-foot by 8-foot. That's good. That's you know what? It's not.
Because you don't know the behavioral psychology of what a pro wrestling ring needs to be, where it's the how it needs to be designed, all those different things. So you really have to study and understand each one of your clients before you start doing what you do.
Quite a bit. So I've designed a lot of things for the elderly. You know, in that my master's thesis was in that many years ago. Now I'm part of that demographic. It's really interesting. I'm designing and studying things on how to design for people for mobility challenges. I did a radio program not that long ago on design for people with MS. And so you're designing for that. And all of a sudden, I am that demographic. I am that age. I'm going through hip replacements. I'm going through mobility issues. It's a whole different environment when you understand at a different level what those challenges are. Your client isn't not even necessarily always a resident. I've also designed zoos where you had to study the animals, their biome and how they work. Do they live in the sun, in the shade, with trees, without trees? How do they sleep? How do they eat? How do they do these things so that you can recreate an environment for them that doesn't cause stress and they can be healthy? Okay, so man is an animal. Shakespeare says we're the paragon of animals. All right. So now we, an architect has to study and understand, what is this animal I'm designing for?
This is such a great topic, and there's definitely more information we can gain from you. Where's the best place we can connect? Where can we go?
Wow. Really good. That's a really excellent question. I think that if one is looking at something, number one, talk to other architects. The other thing would be to, if you're looking at starting something, start asking yourself some questions about what do I want? What do I need? Those are two different categories entirely. And let's make it a simple area and let's talk in residential. Let's say somebody puts together a Pinterest file or a house file, or whatever else, of a bunch of pictures that they like. I like this, this, and this, and this. Great. You like stripes, you like plaids, and like polka dots. Yeah. You want me to put this together and come up with something? Nah. When you start doing that, I'll give each of your listeners a small homework assignment. People go to restaurants and they go, I love the ambience of this place. This is really nice. Good. Or I don't like this restaurant. It doesn't feel right.
Right.
Wonderful. Right. As humans, we experience that. My question to you, to your listener, is why do you like that?
Right.
Why?
Right.
So after you've gone through a dozen restaurants, you keep asking yourself, why? You can learn everything you want to know from a good two-year-old. They ask why.
Okay.
You know, so ask why. And when you keep asking why, there will be a theme to it. So when people send me a whole folder of a bunch of pictures, I'll say, why do you like this? Why do you like this?
So what I was saying is, are there a place to connect with you? People could check you out.
Connecting with me, number of places. One, I said probably the easiest way would be the Houzz platform, Houzz, and just look me up there, Hrivnak, Hrivnak Associates. And there I have some things that are on there. Another good place in general, not just connecting with me, but with other architects, is an organization called Architects Creating Homes. There's a number of articles and things there that a number of us have written and posted up there that are very helpful for getting started in the residential realm. Now, if it's business, if it's clinical, if it's a zoo, if it's an airport, yeah, connect with me and we can have a discussion.
So more you're definitely into the bigger businesses with a lot of your architecture. sounds like.
No, that used to be my career. I mean, years ago, I was designing $200 million hospitals. In the last 10 to 20 years, the vast majority of what I've done has been residential.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And a lot of that is at some point in time, you get tired of living on an airplane.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming by, John. Great information. Out of all the 9,000, never had an architect. So there you go. That was very,
all right. Well, the takeaway, ABC, do you remember what it is?
Yeah. Well, oh, so you're testing me on that. ABC, you have to hire an architect before a contractor. ABC.
Yay! All right.
Wait, yeah. So that's a great gimmick. All right. Take care, man.
All right, take care.
You're watching the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.